CrossFitters in the room. See, there are crazy people in here. It's a church anybody can come to. Just kidding. And so, yeah, he started CrossFit several years ago. And because I was an athlete when I was younger, I thought, I can do this. I can totally do this. And I got there. I'm like, you're pathetic. You're horrible. You can't do this. But I stuck with it. I literally couldn't do hardly anything when I got there. But, you know, in our minds, when we used to be athletes, we still think we can do it. And then your body's like, listen, old lady, you need to chill out. But with perseverance and consistency, I kept going. And within a matter of time, we were able to do things that we couldn't do. You know, we learned how to do burpees, which my husband calls throw uppies. And then we were able to do like handstand push-ups against the wall, things like that, that I thought, I am a boss. I mean, I can do this. And so at the end of a year, a full year of consistently doing CrossFit, I was a lot stronger. But can I tell you, I look no different. I was still quite fluffy. I called myself big sexy. I wasn't sexy, but I wanted to talk nice to myself. So I was still a big mama. I was stronger, but I didn't look any different. And so that was a little frustrating for me. And so what do we do if we're not seeing the results that we want to get and we're competitive and we're athletes? What do? We quit. I quit. I quit and said, this isn't for me. It doesn't work. And then a few years after that, my husband decided to start a different workout program. And in that workout program, again, it was similar to CrossFit. So I thought, I'm not going to do that. No way. Don't want to do it. And then one of my sweet, sweet dear friends, who does not have an athletic bone in her body, started doing it. And she's like, I am so good at this. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. And if she can do this, I can totally do this. And so I started. Here's the different twist to it. Not only did they teach us the strength training of it, but they also taught us the nutrition side of it, which that's what I was missing when I was doing CrossFit. I was just lifting heavy things, but there was no nutrition added to it. If you asked me if I knew how to eat healthy, I would say yes. I didn't eat a lot of fried foods. I didn't eat a lot of fast food and things like that. But they taught me really what proper nutrition is. They taught me portion control and things like that. And so when I coupled my strength training with proper nutrition, not just what I thought, but I coupled it with proper nutrition and consistency, I saw results. For the first time in years, I saw results. And can I tell you, Encounter is a lot like that. If you will take all of the principles and apply them to your life, you will see results. You can take a portion of it, and you might see a little bit of results. You might get strong, but you're still going to be big sexy. Amen. I didn't want to be big sexy. I wanted to be healthy. Okay? So if you will take all of Encounter, last week's teaching, tonight's teaching, the rest of the 5 weeks teaching and the retreat, if you apply all of the principles to your life, you will see results that blows your mind. So can you press in starting tonight and don't quit, don't give up, don't lose sight, but apply all of the principles to your life and you'll get the full results. Amen. Last week, Justin pointed out a statement that was made during the 21 Days of Prayer. Pastor Chris Hodges, who leads Church of the Highlands, made the statement that God answers prayers based on who he is, not who we are. And that was such a profound statement because before I came to know Christ, I thought that maybe it's you had to be so good or you had to be born into this family for God to really answer your prayers or you had to be perfect and there's no way that I could ever reach perfection. And that's not true. So just remember, God is going to answer prayers based on who he is, his goodness, not my goodness or lack thereof. Amen. So let's get into tonight's teaching, which is about alignment and walking in the Spirit. So first question is, what is alignment? What does it mean to align? In your notes, it says, align is to arrange things so that they form a line or are in proper position. To change something so that it agrees with or it matches something else. So when I was in the Marine Corps, and I have a fellow Marine in here, hoorah. That's right. Yes, we're crazy, but that's okay. And so in the Marine Corps, you had to be in proper alignment with the person next to you when you're in formation. And so when I first started thinking about alignment and we first started launching Encounter and we were talking about alignment, that's the thing that I think of is we're in proper alignment. We are side by side. I'm not back here and he's up there and vice versa. We are in perfect alignment beside each other in proper form. The other thing that you think of when you talk about alignment is your vehicle, right? Do I have any mechanics in the house tonight? Any mechanics? What happens when your vehicle is out of alignment? Doesn't work right, does it? Ladies, that's what happens. I know some of you are like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. When your vehicle is out of alignment, when you don't take care of it and get it lined up like it's supposed to, it's not going to function as intended. And so tonight we're going to talk about spiritual alignment. So the next point is spiritual alignment. And what that is it's the process of becoming free from the things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ. It's learning to walk and live like Jesus. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought, that means we should, as a moral obligation, we should walk and conduct ourselves just as Jesus walked and conducted himself. That scripture right there is spiritual alignment. See, when God gives us an instruction, just know that he also equips us to carry it out. God is a really good God. He doesn't give us a scripture, a commandment, or an instruction and doesn't equip us to not walk it out. He says, I set you up for success, not failure. So if he says, Sonia, I want you to walk in spiritual alignment, that means he's equipped me to do just that. And we're going to walk you through that tonight. We're going to give you some tangible, practical things on how to walk this out in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about the three parts that God created us to be. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. Whose? For his purpose, for God's purpose. And may your spirit, your soul, and your body be kept complete and be found blameless of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what this is saying is that God created three distinct parts of me, three distinct parts of you, and some of the husbands in the room's like, no, my wife got about 33 parts. Well, we're just going to talk about three tonight, all right? So the first one we're going to talk about is the spirit. The first part is the spirit. That is our eternal part. And number two is our soul. That is our mind, will, and emotions. That's how I think. It's how I feel. And then number three is the body. That's our physical part, but it's also what the Bible refers to as our fleshly side, our temptations and things like that. And so these three parts, the body, soul, and spirit, need to be in proper spiritual alignment to function properly. The first is the spirit. That needs to be in the lead. That needs to always be in the lead to be in proper spiritual alignment. And then number two, following behind the spirit, is our soul. That's my mind, will, and emotions. So the spirit needs to be in the lead. Then my mind, will, and emotions need to follow that. And then lastly, the body follows after the soul. All are going to be in subjection to the Holy Spirit for me to function as God intended me to function. And again, we call this proper biblical order of alignment. Galatians 5:16 through 18, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then, if I let the Holy Spirit guide my life, this is what happens. It says, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Can I tell you, sometimes my sinful nature wants to throat punch somebody. I know that's not ladylike. I never profess to be super ladylike. I wish I was more prim and proper, but I'm a Marine, and so I'm not. My sinful nature sometimes wants to lead the way, but that's not the way that the Lord wants us to do it. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. See, when I surrendered my life to Christ, when you decided to be a Christ follower, you gave up your rights to do anything and everything. I can't do everything that I want to do. I can, but there's usually consequences to it, and it's usually not good if I'm not letting the Holy Spirit lead the way. It continues on, and it says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. What this is saying is there is a battle that is consistently going on in here and in here, but when I let the Holy Spirit lead the way, that's what's going to win. And so right now, we want to give you a real-life, practical example of what it looks like to live a life that is in spiritual alignment, in proper spiritual alignment. But then also, what does it look like when Sonia is not living in alignment, when Jennifer is not living in alignment, when Paige is not in spiritual alignment? I want to give practical examples of what this looks like because it helps me learn how to apply it to my life. So Megan is going to have three separate columns. She's already got them drawn out. And so the first column is what it looks like when we're in proper alignment. And so the first point is that we're going to let the Spirit lead the way in my life, in my decisions. And so if you're a single person here tonight, raise your hand if you're single. All the single ladies and fellas, raise your hand, look around, get numbers. Just kidding. Not this kind of class, not this kind of group. But for my single friends, when you are surrendered to the Holy Spirit and you're letting the Spirit lead the way in your life, and say you may potentially be looking at dating someone, what this looks like is when the Spirit's leading the way, you're surrendered to God. That means you're spending time in the Word consistently, not just on Sunday. You're spending time in the Word consistently. You're surrounding yourself in a community with other people that passionately love Jesus and want to live a life of holiness and purity, chasing after God. Not perfect. There was only one that was perfect. His name was Jesus. But you're really wanting to chase after a life of living and pleasing to the Holy Spirit. So that's what letting the Spirit lead the way if you're a single person. If you're a married person, guess what? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. All my married friends in here, when I'm letting the Spirit lead the way in my life, my attitude is reflective of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm operating in gentleness and kindness. I'm spending time in the Word. I'm spending time in prayer. I'm surrounding myself with other married couples that want to live a life that's pleasing to God. Amen. If you're a married person and say you have a job opportunity that has been dropped into your lap, we're going to walk through what that may look like when you're allowing the Spirit to lead you. And so that's what it looks like to let the Spirit lead the way. So after the Spirit is leading the way, we let the soul come in next. So in place two, we let the soul lead the way. And so what that looks like for a single person is you find somebody, some guy looking fine in those Wranglers. I just say that because my husband wears Wranglers. Or you see a girl and she's looking all fine up in the church house and everything. And so you spent time with the Lord. That's Erica. We went to high school together. She's laughing at me. And so you've been spending time with the Lord because the Spirit is leading the way. But as a single person, when I've been spending time with the Lord and somebody comes before me and is wanting to get my attention or wants to go out with me and I'm hearing from the Lord, I may recognize this person isn't really lining up with godly principles. Just because this person goes to church doesn't mean that that's who God wants you to spend time with. And because I've spent time with God, I decide, you know what? Nice person. Just not going to go down that road because you've heard from the Holy Spirit. You're sensing a prompting of the Holy Spirit because I've let the Spirit lead the way. Does that make sense? As a single person and as a married person, if you've had a job opportunity fall into your lap, but you've spent time letting the Spirit lead the way in your life, listen, it's okay to create a list, a pros and cons list. I'm a pros and cons kind of person, so I'm going to make a list. And so if I'm looking at the list and I look, man, the money is good, the position is good, it's a promotion, but you know what? Because I've spent time with the Lord, I'm recognizing, this company's values don't really line up with godly principles. Or it's going to pull me away from where God has me planted for this season. I don't think this is the job opportunity for me for this season. And you walk away from that because you've heard from the Lord. Are you tracking on that? So spirit leads the way, then the soul follows up, and then the body is in the rear, literally and figuratively, whatever. Anyways, move on. And so because the body, the flesh, gets the last say, it doesn't get to boss you around. It doesn't take precedence. I don't make decisions based on this is what Sonia wants to do, because that's what proper alignment looks like right there, okay? And so next, let's see what it looks like when we're out of alignment. Let's see what it looks like when the soul leads the way. And a lot of us have been there. If you haven't, you're awesome. I want to meet you because I've done it. We've all done it. So as a single person, when I'm letting the soul take the lead, not letting the Holy Spirit lead the way, this may look like, and let me come over here because it's probably more ladies than guys. I don't know, guys may do it too. But my lady friends, what this may look like is when you're on social media, if you see one more chick that has said yes, said big yes, said yes to the dress, or you see another wedding magazine, you're gonna puke or you're gonna throat punch someone. Erica said, yes, Lord. So you're so consumed with what's going on. And you see everybody getting engaged, you see everybody getting married, you see everybody having babies, and then you start to let that play over and over and over in your mind, and before you know it, you are absolutely miserable, and you're so lonely, and it's because you've let it ruminate right here. You've let it soak right here, okay? For my married friends, when you're letting the soul lead the way, it could look like a married couple that started out great and they started out strong, and then your husband is working too much because he's providing for the family, and the wife gets frustrated and discouraged because he's working so much, and you get irritated and you're talking to your friends about it and you're talking to your siblings about it. And you're talking to your mom about it, and before you know it, you're so irritated and so frustrated, and your husband is so sorry because he works all the time, and he doesn't have time for you, and he doesn't compliment you, and he doesn't want to have date night with you anymore, and you have let it play over and over and over in your mind. And so when you go to CrossFit, just kidding, but when you go work out at the gym, Big Buff Bubba, which that's my husband, say, I don't know why I'm using him so much. He's not here. So if you're not here, whatever. But so you're at the gym, and guess what? Somebody starts complimenting you. And they start paying a little more attention to you that you're not getting from your husband. And before you know it, you're really liking that attention. And so then next, the body is following suit after the soul. And so for my single friends, when you let that marinate in your mind that everybody else is engaged, everybody else is married, everybody else is having babies, guess what's going to happen? You're going to compromise your values with somebody that you don't have any business setting yourself up with. Are you hearing me, single friends? Erica said, yes, girl, shut up. When we're letting the soul lead the way, your body is going to follow. It's a matter of time. And so single people, you have to let the Holy Spirit lead the way. When your soul, when your mind, when your emotions, when your will leads the way, you're going to compromise your spiritual walk with somebody that God didn't intend to have in your life for this season, or you guys get way out in left field. And for my married friends, what this looks like when the body follows the soul is that frustration that you have with your spouse, and you fixate on that, and then you start liking compliments from someone over here. Can I tell you, it could very well lead to an affair. Because I'm trying to get more compliments from this guy over here than protecting my mind. If it doesn't lead to an affair, can I tell you, it will lead to a very unhealthy marriage. You could stay married. You could still be serving in the church. You could be leading in the church. But if you are not protecting your mind, if you're letting your mind lead the way, you're eventually going to have a very unhealthy marriage. And can I tell you, even though I let the soul lead the way and the body's going to follow, the Holy Spirit is still speaking to me. The Holy Spirit didn't say, I'm out. Y'all can do this on your own. The Holy Spirit still is trying to speak to me, but I can't hear it as clearly. I don't hear the voice as clearly. I'm not spending time in the Word. The Holy Spirit did not bail on us. He's still trying to get our attention. And then in that third column, if the body is the one that leads the way, can I tell you, you're in a world of trouble when we let our body lead the way. So this is what it tangibly looks like when we're in proper alignment or when we're out of alignment. Does that make sense to you all? Yep. Okay. All right. We're going to keep moving. Good talk. All right. So let's continue to talk about what a life out of alignment looks like. Number one, a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. Habitual meaning the same repetitive sin over and over again. That's what a life out of alignment looks like. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division. It continues on and it says, and other sins like these. It continues on. That's not an all-inclusive list. It's just saying, here's some examples of what happens when I'm living a life in a sinful manner. It says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, we're all prone to drift. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. We're all prone to drift if we don't stay connected to other people, if we don't consciously make an effort on a regular basis to stay close to Jesus, we're all prone to drift. Number two, people who are out of alignment hurt others because they're hurting. People who are out of alignment hurt others because they are hurting. I'll tell you, we're going to do an exercise at the end, but one of the things that I've seen personally when I'm out of alignment, what gets me out of alignment is my busyness of life. I get super, super, super busy. I have a great career. I love my career, but I get so busy. And when I get busy, it pulls me out of alignment. I don't spend it. Yes, Lord. I don't spend enough time in the Word. I don't spend enough time in prayer. The outcome of me getting out of alignment, I get hypercritical of people in my life. And usually it's my husband that I got hypercritical of. I'm hurting because I'm tired. I'm hurting because I'm not creating a balance in my life, and I end up hurting my husband because I'm out of alignment. So when I'm hurting, I tend to hurt other people. That's a life out of alignment. Number three, a life out of alignment is, it happens, but it says that you'll suffer unnecessary pain, which is wasted pain. It says this refers to consequences of sin, pain that we would not experience if we were aligned. It says they suffer unnecessary pain. That's wasted pain. See, life happens sometimes, difficulties happen, and there's some things we're just going to walk through. Not my fault, doesn't have anything to do with the things I've done, what I've not done. That's pain that's just going to happen. It's called life. But there's pain that happens because we are not staying in alignment, and that is wasted pain. It's unnecessary. That's what happens when we get out of alignment. Number four, they speak and live under curses. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. When we are out of alignment, can I tell you, it is very reflective in what we're speaking, in our verbiage, in our attitudes. When we're out of alignment, it's often obvious by what we're speaking. And can I tell you, it is powerful. Your words are powerful. My words are powerful. I can speak life over a situation. I can speak life over my marriage. I can speak life over my children, or I can speak death over them. We have got to stay in alignment so that our words are reflective of the Holy Spirit, because there is life and death in it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had someone speak something over you that is so painful? There's power in our words. For my realists in the room, my negative people in the room, some people say, hey, I'm just speaking the truth. Sometimes things that are unpleasant are true, but you have to ask yourself, is this life-giving? Is it life-giving? Is it bringing true value? Is it uplifting? The Bible says, is it edifying to others? So my people that like to keep it real, sometimes you got to shut it up, okay? So why is alignment important? Number one, alignment with God will bring freedom from a habitual life of sin. It says, what I feed grows, and what I starve dies. I recently heard it like this. They said, what I focus on expands. You know, I was given the example of a life out of alignment, and what I focus on, good or bad, is going to expand. It's going to grow. What I starve is going to die. When I consistently feed myself the things of God, guess what's growing inside of me? It's growing in my heart. It's growing in my mind. When I am feeding myself the things of God, it is expanding. But it is not just expanding. It is getting roots. It is getting deep. It is harder to move me when I'm consistently feeding myself the things of God. We've got to feed ourselves the things of God, not just on Sunday, but every single day, because it is going to grow. Number two, alignment is important. Because when you're in alignment with God, it brings an unparalleled peace. It brings an unparalleled peace. It says that regardless of what you're walking through in life, when you're aligned with God, He will provide peace for every circumstance. What circumstance? What circumstance? When I'm aligned with God, that will bring a peace in every circumstance. 100% it will bring a peace in every circumstance. The scripture given is Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus is yours. That's saying that when I'm in alignment with God, regardless of what's going on in my life, that peace is available to you and it's available to me. See, when I was spending time studying for this, I felt like the Lord really pointed that out, because there are some in here tonight. You hear the scriptures, you hear the story, and you think, you know, no, that's good for you. That's good for you because you've got a great life. I mean, girl, you look good. And your husband's like, oh, no, she does. Some of you are looking around and you're like, that peace is not available for me. But let me explain to you tonight, peace is available regardless of your circumstances. Peace is available when things are great.
But peace is available when things are falling apart. Amen. And some of you haven't understood that. You haven't grasped that for you. But that word is for you tonight. What I want you to understand is there was an old pastor that I heard years ago, and he said, you may see the glory, but you don't know the story. And that's some of you tonight. You may see the glory. You may look at somebody else, and you think they've got it together. They don't understand what I've gone through. And but let me tell you tonight, there's a lot of people that you're sitting elbow to elbow with tonight that have walked through hell and back, and you know what? They still walk through peace. Why? Because they live aligned with Jesus Christ. They continue to live a surrendered life, not a life of perfection, but they've lived a surrendered life. Don't tell me that it's not available for you. You look around, and there's people in this room tonight that have walked through extreme tragedy. Their baby girl has come home and told their mama that she was sexually abused by a family member. They had a spouse come home and tell them that they don't want to be married to him anymore because they're having an affair. They had to bury a child. Not fair, unexpected. But can I tell you, when you stay aligned with Jesus, he will give you a peace that doesn't make sense to the natural mind. And what I want you to understand tonight is there are people in this room that have walked through hell and back, but walked strong and chin up. It doesn't mean they didn't cry. It doesn't mean they weren't broken, but they said, I know the one who gives the peace. If that's you tonight, if you have walked through a difficult situation, if you have walked through hell and back, but because you stayed close to God and you walked through it with peace, I want you to stand up right now. If you walk through it in peace, I want you to stand up right now. Look around the room. Look around the room. God is no respecter of person. That means if he did it for you, he will do it for me. If he did it for you, he will do it for you. God said it's available for everybody. The people that are standing up have been through more tragedy than you can even wrap your mind around. But God said, I've got that same peace for you, regardless of who you are. Amen. Thank you. You can sit down. Peace is not the absence of difficulty. Peace is Jesus. And when I live a life letting the Holy Spirit lead the way, I can walk through peace in the midst of the worst tragedy. Number three, this is important because alignment will help us hear God's voice much more clearly, and it will provide a strong line of defense. John 10:27 says, the sheep that are my own, they hear my voice and they listen to me. I know them and they'll follow me. James 1:5 says, if any of us lack wisdom, just ask. God said, just ask and I'll give it. It says, I'll give it in abundance. So let's talk about how to live a life in alignment by walking in the Spirit. So the first thing is we've got to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We've got to learn what that means to walk in the Spirit. So number one, that means that I repeatedly over and over and over and over again, I give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me in every area of my life as well as surrendering to him. It says, I willingly make all parts of my life available for his work. It's my past, it's my present, it's my future, it's my pain, it's my regrets, it's my good and my ugly. I make it available to him. I do not compartmentalize. I don't separate what I'm going to give to God and what I'm going to hang on to. I don't just give God my Sunday mornings. And then when it comes to my finances, I'm like, mind your business, Jesus, not your business. Amen. It's all available to him. I don't hang on to any little part. It says, I give it all to him. That's walking in the Spirit. Number two, I daily choose to let go of pride and I give up control.
I daily choose to let go of pride and I give up control. How do I know if I'm prideful? Here's a real quick, easy way to tell you if you're struggling with pride. Pride says, I don't have a problem with pride. Nope, I'm good. Humility says, do I have a problem with pride? Lord, search my heart. Do I have a problem? Do I need to walk at a greater level of humility? Two quick ways you can tell if you operate in pride. And I will tell you this. People that know Jesus and serve on a dream team and come faithfully can be used by God even when they're prideful. But lean in. You will never operate in the fullness that God has for you. You'll miss it. I want to operate in the fullness that God has for me. The second part of that says you've got to give up control. You've got to give up control. My top A people, let me see you. Where's my top A people? Oh, yeah. Don't be shy. Let me see. Okay, Tracy. All right. See, it's my people right here. Listen, being type A is a great quality when kept in check. That's a great quality. We can be the CEO of companies or we can be the leader of a prison gang. All right, we got to just keep it in check. But what I will say for my type A people and everybody else in the room is we have to give up control to Jesus. We've got to surrender everything to the Lord because both of us can't be in the driver's seat. Both of us can't hang on to the steering wheel at the same time. We're going to crash. Amen. He's a better driver than I am. Amen. We've got to give up control to truly walk in the Spirit. And number three, it says, I deny the desires of my sinful flesh, and I consider myself dead to sin. I no longer allow sinful reactions, behaviors, and attitudes to be an option in my life. I no longer allow sinful reactions, behaviors, and attitudes to be an option in my life. One of the things that I've heard for years is, you know what? It's just the way I am. Just the way I am. I've had an anger issue. My mama had an anger issue. My grandma was cray-cray. We've all had anger issues. Or, what? Or, I've this is just life. This is just the way it is. I say what it is. I'm a negative person. I see the cup half full. This is just the way I am. I've always been like that. And you can stay like that. You can stay like that. But let me ask you this. How's it working for you? How's it working for you? When you respond the way you used to, that's not pleasing to God. When you react the way you used to, when you fly off the handle, or you're gossiping about people, or you're just keeping it real, like I said, how is that working for you? How are your relationships? I'm not talking about just your friends that are cray-cray, because we've all had them. But I'm saying, really, how is that working for you? Because when we become a follower of Jesus Christ, we give up those rights. So your option is to keep doing what you're doing or to change and give up control to God and surrender that behavior, surrender that habit, surrender that attitude that's pleasing to God. Because can I tell you, we all have a platform that God's going to give you, and it all looks different. It may be in your home. It may be at your job. It may be in the school. It may be at the mechanic shop. We all have an opportunity to be the light for Jesus. And if my attitude is not reflective of Jesus Christ, I need to get back in line with Jesus. If God says, Sonia, I need you to lay down those desires, like I said, he's going to equip me to do that. I've got to do my part. It's a partnership with God. It is a partnership. I get to partner with him. He gives me the opportunity. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. If I say, I can't help it, that's, to me, that's calling God a liar. Last I checked, he's not a liar. That may make me a liar. I can't help it. I choose to operate in self-control. Now, I may need to take some steps. I may need to see somebody professionally. I may need to stop hanging around some of the people I'm hanging around. But if God said, Sonia, I give you this ability, I will allow you to walk in self-control. I have a choice to walk this out.
Number four, I'll find it easier to obey God as my heart and my mind are renewed by Him and my desires are aligned with Him. Romans 12:2, it says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. See, God's doing the heavy weight lifting right there. It says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Number five, walking in the Spirit means I get to experience the benefits of abundant life that Jesus died to give me. Galatians 5, write down verse 18 because it really starts in verse 18. Galatians 5:18 says, when you are led by the Spirit, and then go to verse 22. It says, when I'm led by the Spirit, when Sonia's led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. What kind of fruit is produced when I let the Holy Spirit lead the way? This kind of fruit, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. When we let the Holy Spirit lead the way, this is the fruit that is produced in our lives. And let me tell you, if this fruit is not evident in your life, you need to recalibrate. If I'm not operating in gentleness, I may need to recalibrate. If I'm not operating in kindness, in goodness, I may need to recalibrate. When I set my GPS in a certain direction and I get off track, what does it do? It says, crazy, get back on track. That's the way God tells me sometimes, I think. I need to recalibrate if this is not evident in my life. And number six, to walk in the Spirit, I need to know my weaknesses. What? I need to know my weaknesses. I am well aware of my weaknesses. My goodness. I need to know my weaknesses, not obsess over my weaknesses, not focus on, not be consumed by my weaknesses, but I need to know my weaknesses and be aware of them. Why? Because the enemy knows our weaknesses better than we do sometimes, and he will use that against us. Knowing our weaknesses is going to help us stand against the attacks of the enemy. It says we must surrender our weaknesses to the Holy Spirit, and when we do this, we'll be strengthened because the Holy Spirit will help us discern, and he'll help us avoid the temptations and the pressures and the pitfalls of life. We need to know our weaknesses. So you need to recognize what your weaknesses are and be honest with yourself. If your weakness is that you can be crude and harsh sometime, you need to surrender that to the Holy Spirit and pray for a gentleness. God, I surrender this bad attitude, this being, I surrender it to you. I know it's not pleasing to you. I give it to you. God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be gentle. If your weakness is porn, for one, you need to set up some guardrails. But you need to lift that up to the Holy Spirit, surrender it to the Holy Spirit, and say, I want to please you. I want purity of mind and heart. Purify me. I give this to you. I don't want to hang this. You can't win these things on your own. You can't. You're not smart enough, good enough, strong enough. But I know who is. Amen. If your weakness is that you become critical when you're working too much and you're too tired and you're not balancing your life, you surrender that critical attitude and that critical spirit to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I want to extend grace drastically to everybody else. Purify my thoughts and my heart. When we lift these up to the Holy Spirit, when we consistently surrender them, we will be strengthened, we will be empowered, and we will live a life that is pleasing to Jesus. Does anybody want to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus? Amen. Amen. So we're going to transition to the response time right now. I love the teaching of Encounter is practical. It's easy to apply. And then I also like that there's a response time where I just get to spend time with God and let God speak to my heart personally.
Because there's some areas that I may be struggling in that Rick's not struggling in. There may be areas that I am needing some work on that Andrea is not struggling in. So right now, we're going to have an opportunity to spend some time with Jesus. And there's going to be an exercise. And there's going to be some questions between you and God that's going to walk you through alignment. It's going to recognize some areas that may be out of alignment, how that affects you, and then what we need to do to get back on track. And so I'm going to pray over you. And before you start writing anything down, your table hosts have the forms. They're going to pass it out to you in just a second. But before you start writing anything down, I want you to just sit in quiet just a moment and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And then we'll move forward. We're going to take about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to go through this exercise. But can I pray over you first? Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Lord, I thank you so much that you're such a good God. Lord, you don't give us your word that is so hard to relate to. It's so old and outdated. But God, your word is alive. It's for us today. And it's easy to apply. Father, I think that your heart's desire is for us to walk in freedom. God, for us to walk in peace. And so tonight we've heard from you about alignment, about walking in the Spirit. And I pray over every person that's here right now. And as we go through this exercise, God, we want to hear from you clearly. God, let your voice be louder than anything else. God, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Table host, you can go ahead and pass that out.
You get shy on me, lift up your soul, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul.
stands between me and my God. And the fear that was my prison is no longer where I'm living. Cause nothing stands between me and my God. There's no place I go that He is.
Holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ooh.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You